Glow Ministries, where we encourage you to let your light shine. Love God, love yourself, and love one another.
What is disappointment? Disappointment is an emotional response to some failed expectation we may have, or to some desire that we may have. As Brother Francis say, you're looking forward for something, you're expecting it, and you just didn't get it. So that is what disappointment is. And most of us have experienced disappointments in our lives or at some time or the other, or even presently we may be going through some disappointment, or we will go through disappointments in the future. It's going to come. Disappointments can come from broken relationships with your children, siblings, parents, loss of job, even overlook for a promotion. It could be any number of things you could be disappointed with in this life. There are some people in the Bible who suffer great disappointment. When you think about the life of Moses or Job or Joseph and even David, the disappointments they went through in their lives, and how they were able to overcome those disappointments and become great men and women of God. Today we'll touch on two of them, David and a little bit on Joseph. So if you have your Bibles, you could turn with me to, we'll go to 1 Samuel chapter 16 and we'll read verses 6 to 13. So 1 Samuel chapter 16. Verses 6 to 13. So it was when they came that he looked at Eliab and said, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." So Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Then Jesse made Shammah pass by and he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Thus Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen these." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all the young men here?" Then he said, "There remains yet the youngest, and there he is keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and bring him, for we will not sit down till he comes here." So he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy with bright eyes and good looking. And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is the one." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel arose and went to Ramah. Jesse had 8 sons, but none of them were suitable in God's eyes to become king except David. So you may ask the question, why? Because, brothers and sisters, God looks at the heart. The heart is the seat of the person, and God looks at your heart. After Samuel had seen the 7 sons of Jesse, God said, "It's not any of these." Then Samuel asked if there was another son, and the father admitted there was and sent for David. David was the youngest one tending his father's sheep, so he was overlooked. You know, he's just a little one looking after the sheep, never mind him. But you see, God looks, like I said, at not to the outward appearance, but to the heart. Verse 7 says, "For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." And God said David was a man after his own heart. So David was only a youth with ruddy complexion, good looking, loved the Lord with all his heart. He was about 17 years old when the prophet Samuel anointed him to become king to the amazement of his entire family. He was filled with joy. He was honored that he would become king of this great nation of Israel. But you see, brothers and sisters, he was not quite ready for that role. So David had to go through many tests, many trials, many disappointments before he would become king. God was with David when he slew Goliath and fought victoriously in the Israelite army. As a way of celebration, the women sang, "Saul killed his 1,000 and David killed his 10,000. So Saul became very jealous and envious of David because of this and sought to kill him at every opportunity. The Spirit of the Lord had departed from Saul and was on David, and Saul became very afraid of David. It was 13 years before David finally became king. It was the most trying time. It was the most difficult time. It was the most disappointing time in his life. It was the most fearful time. Instead of becoming king, he found himself running for his life, escaping from King Saul. Can you imagine what David was saying in his heart? God sent this prophet Samuel to anoint him. Instead of him becoming a king, he was running for his life. Where is this God? Where is this God who anointed me as king? Why is he putting me through all these things? This anxiety, this fear, this stress, this worry. What have I done wrong? David traveled hundreds of miles on foot to hide from King Saul. He hid in a cave. He sought refuge from King Achish, his enemy. He sought refuge from him. He must have asked numerous times, "Why has God forsaken me? I was tending the father's sheep, my father's sheep, and all my time I spent praising the Lord, worshiping him. Why now has he forsaken me? Why would he put me through this fear, this anxiety?" And depression too. David suffered from depression. James 1:2-4 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." 1 Peter 4:12 says, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you." You know, brothers and sisters, we will all go through trials. Have you ever seen the potter with the clay? The potter sits down, he has his clay, and he starts to mold that clay. He starts to shape that clay. If he's making a vase or some figurine or ornamental thing, he sits there and spends an enormous amount of time to bring it to the shape how he wants it. And then what does he do when he finishes shaping that say, figurine or vase? What does he do? He puts it in the furnace, the fiery furnace, very, very high temperature. When he takes it out, at a certain time he takes it, he checks, he takes it out. If there's a crack, what happens? He has to start all over again. If a part of it is broken up, he would have to smash it to pieces and start the whole process again of shaping it again, putting it through the fire all over again until it comes out perfect. Now, what is God doing here? Similarly, God has to work with us. He has to mold us. He has to shape us. We have to go through these trials. And when you fail, brothers and sisters, he has to start with you all over again. And he will not give up on you. He will keep shaping you and molding you until eventually you pass the test. When we fail, we have to start all over again. until we finally pass that test. God cannot use us until he brings us to a certain place. Then we'll be ready for the work he's called us out to do. You see, God used Saul's jealousy. That spirit of jealousy came into Saul, and God used that jealousy in Saul to mold David and to change David and to prepare David, to equip him for the role he would be assuming. So David had to be tried. He had to go through the fire. He had to be molded, shaped, and equipped and prepared for his future position as king and leader. He had to pass the test, the same as with Joseph. Now, Joseph had to go through the fire to be molded and shaped before he could become governor of Egypt. Joseph was in jail for a crime he did not commit. He never raped Potiphar's wife, yet he was charged and he was thrown into prison. And while Joseph was in prison, there were two other prisoners there from Pharaoh. Pharaoh's servants were in jail at the same time. And they both had dreams, different dreams. And nobody could interpret their dreams, but Joseph could. And Joseph interpreted their dreams. Eventually, their time was up and they were released from, their sentence was finished and they were released from prison. And Joseph asked them, like, could you tell Pharaoh about me so that I would be released from this place? I'm in here for a crime that I did not commit. Can you imagine Joseph's disappointment after 2 years? They completely forgot about Joseph while he was in prison. They forgot him. 2 years passed, and then the Pharaoh had a dream. And then the servant remembered Joseph in prison, that the only one who could interpret that dream. So the Pharaoh sent for Joseph. They dressed him up, cleaned him up, and got him there. Joseph interpreted the dream for him. And brothers and sisters, what are the point I'm making here? Joseph went through a difficult, difficult time of disappointment and trial in his life. He trusted in the Lord to bring him through every situation that he faced, and God did not fail him. He didn't complain and murmur all the time. He said he believed in his God, he trusted in his God, and God delivered him. It paid off with great dividends. Joseph eventually was released. He became the governor of Egypt, and he was reunited with his family. Sometimes we ask, why, Lord? Why does it take so long for me to fulfill my destiny? Why do we have to wait so long? The disappointment is great. The Lord is busy putting all the pieces together. Putting all the pieces in place. You may not see anything happening on the surface, but in the unseen realm, something is happening. Things are happening. The pieces are being put together. You are going through a time of preparation, and you need to have patience and wait upon the Lord. He has not overlooked you, but his timing is perfect. We need to rest in him. We need to trust him. Even when things are going contrary to what you want, you need to trust him. He's right there with you through the storms of life. He will not leave you nor forsake you, and that is his promise. How do we handle disappointment? Well, if you were passed over for a promotion, most of us would do what? We would complain. We would come home. We would complain to our spouse. We would phone up a friend, a family member, a sibling, somebody. You know, I'm so qualified for that position. I've been there for years and years. I have all the experience. I can do that job. And yet I've been passed up for a promotion. Why was I passed up for that promotion? You see, that would be our natural reaction, our carnal aside. And David was terribly disappointed of not becoming a king. So what did David do? We'll take a look at what David This is what he did, brothers and sisters. He prayed, he sought God, he cried out unto him. In his distress, when he was fleeing from King Saul, he wrote this psalm. I will read Psalm 57, 1 to 3. Be merciful to me, O God. Be merciful to me. For my soul trusts in you, and in the shadow of your wings, I will make my refuge until these calamities have passed by. I will cry out to God Most High, the God who performs all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me. He reproaches the one who would swallow me up. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. So, brethren, David learned to live beyond his disappointment, and something we all can learn from. He knew his survival and his future depended on one thing, God's faithfulness. God is not swayed by disappointments, and he doesn't change his plans or defer them. God knows everything about us. God has already outlined our future. Instead of we coming home, we can tell our spouse we didn't get that promotion. And it's normal to feel disappointed that you didn't get it, especially when you applied and you prepared for it and you didn't get it. It's just normal to feel disappointed. But instead of complaining and complaining to everyone, what would you do? You go to the Father. He says, cast your care unto me. We go to him and say, Father, I cannot understand this. I prepare for this promotion. I don't know why I was overlooked. But Father, I know that you have something better for me. That when you close one door, you open up another door for me. You know, we can look at it in that light. And we can say those words and reaffirm God's goodness in our life. He will not fail you. You see, God knew that David was not yet ready to be a king of that great nation. David may have thought he was ready, but God knows us better than we know ourselves. The years he spent battling hardship and disappointment were times of tremendous growth and preparation for the position he would hold one day. David wrote approximately 73 of the Psalms. When he was a shepherd tending his father's flock, he spent hours worshiping the Lord, praising the Lord, playing his harp, and dancing to the Lord. Throughout the years fleeing from King Saul, in his time of sorrow and disappointment, David turned to the Lord through his Psalms. He wrote in Psalms 42, 1 to 5, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before my God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me, for I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. So brethren, each one of us will go through times when we feel discouraged, when we feel disheartened, when we may want to give up, to quit. But David didn't do that. He persevered. He kept praising the Lord. We should never surrender into the hands of the enemies. Don't give up. We don't know what God has just around the corner for us. We could be just on the edge of our breakthrough. So just hang in there. Like David, you might go through a time of waiting and disappointments seem to follow your every step. However, each series of trials prepared David for some aspect of that job he would have one day. If you're older and the enemy says, the enemy has tempted you to believe that your life is almost over, don't expect to get that job or that promotion. Don't you believe him. There's never a limit to what God can do. Amen. Therefore, when problems come, turn to the Lord for us. There's nothing wrong in sharing your disappointments. As I said before, family is there to support us and to bring us comfort. But you should not let your disappointment prolong, because this is where you open the door for the enemy to have a foothold in your life to torment you. So turn it over to the Lord. You know, brothers and sisters, statistics showed that 87% of our sickness is due to our thoughts. 87% of our sickness is due to our thinking, our wrong thinking. And that could lead to emotional and physical illness. It could lead to diabetes and to arthritis and to cancer and blood pressure and all these kind of illnesses. 13% of sickness comes from the environment and from genetics, from your genes. So we need to bring every thought. We have to be mindful of those thoughts that come to our mind and bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. 2 Corinthians 10:5. The enemy will bring thoughts to torment you. You need to process them. Is this thought beneficial to me, or is this thought harmful to me? If it's not beneficial, then you take your authority over it and cast it out. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you, James 4:7. So we need to learn to reprogram our minds. When those negative thoughts come, we need to replace them with positive ones. God's words. Renew your minds with the word of God. You may not understand why you will pass over a promotion or how you will ever reach some of the goals for you set for yourself, but God knows, and that is what counts. He can change around any circumstances at the drop of a hat. But if you are filled with disappointment, with anger, with doubt, with unbelief, you might just miss your blessing. If we stay focused on God, we would have the help, the strength, and ability to keep going, even though it feels as if our world is crumbling around us. God would teach us how to respond in times of disappointment. All the way through, he was with David. Never left him. You are never alone, though the enemy would have you believe so. The enemy's primary goal is to discourage you. How do we overcome discouragement? One way to get past your disappointment is to realize that God is aware of your circumstances. The enemy will taunt you, tell you that you will never amount to much, that you're a failure, no one loves you, or you'll never come out of debt or get that promotion. And he will say, why don't you give up? And some of us have heard those same things from our parents. When we were small, our parents said we were stupid, we wouldn't amount to much, we were a failure. And you know, sometimes you give in to that, but you cave into it because that's what you've heard before. That's what you're used to hearing. But it doesn't have to be that way. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Cast your burdens onto him, for he cares for you. If you will trust him in a difficult season, during a difficult season, you will find that he will help you move past the hurt to a place of extreme blessing. You must understand that disappointment is part of life. But you can make a choice whether to become angry or overwhelmed by the situation, or allow God to work in your circumstances. While you need to acknowledge the feelings that welled up inside of you, you also need to stand firm in your faith. God may have allowed something to turn out differently from the way that you planned or you even desired. But every single time you face a moment of discouragement, he was right there beside you, longing for you to ask for his strength, his wisdom, and his insight. When a person's lives have been blown apart by disappointment, he will not be able to think clearly or even with God's principles in mind. Instead of working through an issue with the Lord in prayer, he may react to the problem by saying things he wish he could take back. Often we say things we wish we could take back, but it's too late. We must seek God first before we make any rash decision. Disappointments can be a breeding ground for bitterness and for resentment. This can literally eat an emotional hole in your soul if you are not diligent with your thoughts and devotion to God. Remember, God's word is medicine for our souls. Proverbs 4:20. So let's look like how David emerged from his disappointment. During his most trying times, David wrote the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me into the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. From this psalm, we see David's unshakable faith in God. When trouble comes, most of us would ask, what should I do? We search ourselves for the answers. We go after others, asking them for a word or searching for the answer. But David knew who was the source of his strength. He knew God would show him how to deal with every situation in his life, with every feelings of disappointment. Brethren, when our hearts are in tune with the Lord, we will have peace, even though there's a storm, or even though we're going through the middle of trying times. If we're seeking the Lord, we're with the Lord, we're still going to have peace in the midst of the storm. In the midst of those trying times, we are going to have peace. We will be able to walk through the valley of the shadow of death and we will have no fear. We will walk through the valley with no fear, without being afraid. Peace is the natural overflow of a heart that is set on Christ. You may or may not know why God has allowed you to encounter disappointment, frustration, or sorrow. Regardless of that, what matters most is the focus of your faith. Faith is a steady, stable, and steadfast process of opening your conscious and subconscious mind through prayer to the Holy Spirit. The eternal God will shape you, will shape your will and direct your way. God has promised, brothers and sisters, He will give you guidance. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will bring you through every disappointment that you have in your life. You must understand you're a chosen vessel. When God has chosen you, when God has picked you out as His child, I want you, I want you, I want you, I want you, I want you. What I'm saying is God has chosen each and every one of you. You're a chosen vessel. He has to prepare you now. You cannot jump into a position without being equipped. And so He has to mold us. He has to shape us. We go through some fiery trials. As the book of James says, we are going to go through. And 1 Peter, we are going to go through some fiery trials in this life. But we have to be submissive to God. We always turn to God. All the time, throughout our trials, throughout our tribulations, we stay firm. We must have unshakable faith like David and stay firm on God's word. And then we'll see God move in our lives. Throughout the trying times, He will give you a hope and He will give you peace about it. God bless you. Amen.